Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on your encouraging WPER. Welcome back for another edition of Community Matters. Today, we are airing part two of an interview series with Transitions for You. If you missed part one from yesterday, don't worry. You can get that audio right on our website, WPER.org. We focused on what Transitions for You is, the need that they are fulfilling within the community in helping displaced families. But today we're going to be talking with one of their board members about sort of future direction for Transitions for You, opportunities that they have coming up down the line and ways that you can get involved. So good morning. Welcome to the show. Could you just kind of introduce yourself to our audience and that way we can talk about what's up ahead for Transitions for You?
My name is Ed Fitchell. I'm currently serving on the board of directors with Transitions for You. And I also am an active volunteer. So Transitions has a big part in my life in terms of how I engage and what I do in particular. So Lisa Harris, the founder, and Neil have really worked with me to have my focus more on elements of working to grow Transitions in many different ways and helping to build upon the different elements that they put in place over the years. Part of that focus is on the strategic vision. So working closely with Lisa to really help enable what that strategic vision is, and then also building upon the great operational aspects that have been put in place and developing that further so that we can position ourselves for the growth that we really want.
Perfect. Thank you. Now, in talking with Lisa and Neil yesterday, we, of course, had the opportunity to hear kind of how Transitions for You has been impacted by COVID-19, with even more demand sort of being placed on their shoulders in terms of who needs the services of Transitions for You. But even without COVID-19, even without the pandemic, we would have seen their impact in the area grow simply because of what they provide and what they're willing to do. So I guess what I'd love to find out from you is kind of what are some of the next steps for Transitions for You? Where do you see, whether we're talking post-pandemic or, you know, we have no idea how long we're going to be in this situation, but what do we see next for this great organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. So before COVID came along, we really had some great momentum. We were starting to really build upon some of the great work that our volunteer team has done, Lisa and Neil have done, in the Spotsylvania area with the motels down there. We put some great things in place, had many families engaged through the motels, great processes and so forth. And we were looking really to start to expand that to other areas. So we were just in the early stages of expanding to two different, I'll call it campuses, if you will, one in Culpeper and one in South Stafford. We had the beginnings of what we really wanted to do there to start initially developing relationships with motels and families, and then COVID hit. And quite frankly, we really had to put a stop to a great extent, or at least slow it down considerably. And it really challenged us in terms of where we wanted to go in terms of our growth. The same can be said with the Spotsylvania area. We had so many good things in place. And for obvious reasons with COVID, we had to stop or cease a lot of those activities, in-person meetings, our Monday night dinners, adult workshops, you know, so many things that we were doing. We had to put a hold on. Like many out there, we had to adapt. So this year was really about how we could adapt in terms of just continuing to reach out to those families, doing virtual adult workshops. But things like the children's ministry, meeting in person with the kids, unfortunately, we had to cease those activities. But we've since kind of figured out a way to get that going as well recently as well. So, you know, in terms of other areas, Stafford and Culpeper, while we've pretty much stopped the activities in Culpeper, we've been able to eke forward, if you will, the effort in Stafford. So we've been growing the relationships with motel management, starting to engage with families, but basically just working to develop those relationships and helping to meet some of their needs. You know, going forward in 2021 is really about how we can leverage where we are now, what we've done in the past, and grow in the way that we really, you know, feel like we can impact as many as families as possible beyond what we've been doing in the past.
What do you think it's going to take in order for transitions for you to realize all the goals and dreams that you have as you move forward? Is it more community support financially? Is it more hands and feet involved?
Yeah, it's really all of the above. COVID has challenged us financially. Donations are down, quite frankly, and we understand, you know, there's challenges with pretty much everybody out there. Everybody's been impacted by COVID, whether it be just more things they have to do and their inability to find the time necessary to help out where they might otherwise. Families are challenged financially, so we understand that as well. And while they might have a great desire to want to donate to organizations like ours, they're unable. So whatever the reason, volunteer activity is down and donations are down. So one of the things that really, I think if we start with the financial part of it, that we have to revisit and really determine how we can get ourselves back to an acceptable financial state again so that we can leverage that aspect of our organization to really, you know, help focus on where the needs are. That'll in turn leverage us to be able to grow in the area. So things like our annual banquet that was supposed to be this month, that was an incredible fundraising opportunity we've had annually. We're unable to do that because of COVID. We're looking for virtual means of donations, but even that's difficult. And you know, having volunteers that are knowledgeable in those areas that can really leverage and help us reach out to those people, you know, in a different way. You know, in the COVID world, virtual engagement, social media, various aspects like that are really how I think we can get the word out, and through you know, your radio station and other elements, you know, getting the word out to people that we're still here, we're still working with the community, we're still trying to help out, and to be able to accomplish what we want to do. It starts with really the funds. The volunteer part of it's the other aspect, and people are uncomfortable, understandably so, and maybe volunteering face to face, but we have opportunities to allow people to help out virtually, and those that are comfortable, and you know, in the activities that we do have ongoing, where we are trying to meet face to face and in small groups, if you will, and other areas where we can help out our, you know, motel families and clients. We have a great need for volunteers there as well. There's so many things that can be done, whether it's administrative or whether it's just helping to serve meals or bring food or supplies or whatever the case may be. We still have a great need, and unfortunately, our volunteer ranks have decreased as well. So I think both of those areas are areas that people can help with.
Speaking just a little bit to some larger scale partnerships, I think it's great to know what an individual listener can do, but we also have, you know, business leaders in the community. Are there any other ways that other organizations can partner on a larger scale to help transitions for you, whether it's provision of materials, provision of support? Do you see any community leadership partnerships there?
Yeah, and there's a lot of opportunity there. That's where Lisa's focus has been primarily, and it's an important aspect of our business, those partnerships that we have with organizations, whether they be churches, businesses, or organizations that might otherwise have resources available. So a few examples. As we work with our families, you know, one of the main goals, of course, is not only to meet their basic needs, their safety, you know, elements of food and security and so forth, but to help them grow in such a way that they can become more independent. Part of that process is ultimately getting them out of the motel into their own home. Once they have those life skills in place, that's the end goal. The housing part of it can be a challenge because of various aspects with our family clients. It might be credit history, it might be so many other things, you know, that will help them through, but ultimately there are those challenges. And having a partner that can work with us in terms of those housing needs is such a critical part of what we do. You know, access to housing, or even facilities, you know, it might be transitional housing that a family might move into for a period of time half a year, until which time they can establish credit and then ultimately move into something more permanent. So that's an example of one area that we're trying to focus on with various partnership aspects that I think will help make quite a bit of difference on the back end of what we want to do. Even when we transition families to into homes that we do have available, there's another piece of that puzzle. There's they usually come, if you've ever been to see a family in a motel, it's so disheartening, you know, to see a couple or a single parent in a small room crammed with 3, 4, 5 children and all their belongings in that one room. And when they're ready at some point to transition to a home, they don't have anything to furnish the home with, for example, or all the things, you know, they might take for granted, the kitchen utensils and all that. And stocking the house is one way to help them get off to a better start. We'll leverage partnerships in terms of furniture, household items, and so forth. Part of it's donations from individuals, but in many cases, it's businesses that come together for us and help us with some of the more significant items. So that's another area I think that, you know, a small business or an organization can work with us on to help us, you know, in terms of that transition aspect. So there are so many examples like that where businesses and partnerships can really help us, you know, leverage what we do well and ultimately get those families to where they really desire to be in the future.
And then just speaking from your own, I guess, personal passions in regards to transitions for you, what is something that you are very excited about seeing long-term for transitions for you? Is there anything big that you would like to see accomplished down the road?
Well, there's, I guess there's two pieces to that. So one you might consider big and one perhaps is small, but I think of it as big. So on the big standpoint, I think certainly if you were to hear from Lisa, and I wholeheartedly support this, you know, we look down the road to where we want to be and how we can really impact as many lives as possible. And that vision ultimately, I think, has to be from a standpoint of having a more permanent element of our organization relative to that housing and transitional housing aspect. So I think one thing that differentiates us from many other organizations that do some great work with the homeless and families that are otherwise displaced is our ability to take families from a place of need to a place of hope, you know, where they can actually have confidence again in their own abilities to live those dreams that they have, you know, whether it's some level of security and a regular paycheck and a home to call their own. But we take them through those series of steps that lead them towards that self-sufficiency and that place of hope. And having a facility, I think, really, for lack of a better way of putting it, it's a place where we can utilize to transition them through, perhaps, you know, certainly not a permanent home, but a place of residence. So that we're not always having to search for homes, if you will, during this transitional period is, I think, the ultimate goal here. What that looks like and how that plays out is something I think we still need to work through, but that's probably the big side of it. And the other part of it, too, I think, you know, Lisa and I have talked quite a bit about this, and I think it's such an important part of what's developed with transitions that wasn't, I don't believe, the ultimate vision when this first started, but it's certainly become an important part. And that's our children's ministry. And that's where I have a passion. We have some incredible volunteers and that have just touched the lives of so many children from the pre-K level to the high school. And that ministry has grown considerably over the years. These are kids that in some cases know really nothing more than living out of a motel and the stress and the fear and all that comes with being in a motel bearing in mind, you know, these aren't top-notch hotels that these families are staying in. There's a lot of safety concerns. There's a lot of issues being in and around that type of community. And Transitions, I think, has become a place for many of these children that they can almost call another home, a safe haven, if you will, you know, where they can just have discussions, you know, in a candid way sometimes, but also just feel like they can be themselves outside of that hotel environment. But more importantly, being able to introduce our faith with these children, you know, again, in a protective way, certainly, but, you know, in a way too that can be meaningful to them and possibly change their lives. I think we've done that in many cases, and you know, we use the term breaking the cycle. It's an important concept with the adults and the parents that get into this terrible cycle of bad habits that they've developed over the years and very difficult for them to break. And that's one of the things that we help them work through. But that break the cycle concept is just as important with the children, especially the ones that may not have known much more than living out of a motel. Maybe that's their norm, and it shouldn't be their norm. You know, what can we do to help break the cycle with the children? Well, give them hope for the future. Let them know that there's so much more out there for them. Encourage them, you know, give them an element of faith and just address so many of those areas that are missing in their lives. And that's something we wanted to build on. And that's something I think Lisa and I agree with, that going forward, how do we continue to build our children's ministry, you know, with the motel community, and hopefully break that cycle with those kids.
Now, for those listening right now who are like, yes, get me involved, I want to help in any way that I can, how can they get involved?
Well, there's so many ways we can get involved. And, you know, with COVID, it does present a challenge, certainly. You know, we believe we've got safe mechanisms in place where we are engaging on an in-person basis. We're just trying to be so careful about that. But, you know, the best way is to reach out to us directly. You know, we would love to hear how you'd like to help. And, you know, there's so many opportunities. I've touched on a handful during this discussion, you know, whether it's, you know, donating or using your expertise or knowledge or skills to help leverage other organizations or other individuals to engage, or administrative work that, you know, that we can certainly use help on. There's so many areas, financial skills, legal skills. You know, we've had volunteers from pretty much all walks of life help us in so many different ways. It's not necessarily just your traditional volunteer work. Well, that's available too. You know, we have volunteers bringing food out to the motels constantly. And, you know, so there's so many ways that your listeners can help. And again, I think one of the ways to really begin that process of engagement is to reach out to us. And we'd love to talk to you and find out more about what your interests are. And we can certainly find a home for you in this organization.
Great. And how can they reach out to you?
One way would be to go onto our website. They can find out some more information. It's Transitions for You. So Transitions with the number 4YOU.org. And on there, there's contact information for our leaders, as well as the main number that they can call. They can also reach out through our website with inquiries as well. There's an application for volunteers, and there's a lot of other information as well.
Awesome. Well, Ed, thank you so much. It truly has been such a great opportunity to talk with you just about some of the different opportunities up ahead for Transitions for You. And of course, it's always great to have a chance to connect with Lisa and Neil about the work that they're doing with this great organization. So a reminder to you, if you'd like to hear the audio from part one or part two of this interview, you can get it right on our website, WPER.org. And for those looking to find out more information about this great organization, check them out online at Transitions, the number 4, you.org.